It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Good evening and welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. As you know, several times a month, I'm joined by my good friend Jim Barrier. He's usually on the phone, but tonight he's in the studio, incarnate. Jim is here. How you doing, Jim?
You know, I'm doing great. And a lot of our listeners know when I'm on the show, they know I live in San Antonio, Texas, but I am originally from San Diego. I'm a third generation San Diego native. I'm very proud of that. But I just can't believe what a spectacular day it was today here in America's finest city. Do they still call it that? We used to call it that. Was the back in the day as a promotion, Roger Hedgecock and all those
guys. I remember them calling the New York Police Department America's finest police department, although it's been a long time since they've lived up to that.
Well, I'm
through no fault of their own. They just have their budgets being slashed.
Well, I've been in New York, and I grew up here, and I'm just going to tell you, San Diego is finer, okay? Take care of that.
I can't argue with that. I've visited New York City. I would not want to live there, especially these days. But even in its heyday, I don't think I'd have wanted to live in a city that big.
So we're here for a few days. Leslie, my wife, is with me in town, and I got to get a few things out of the way here. Being San Diego native and for years held season tickets for the two sports franchises, and one of them isn't here anymore, but the San Diego Padres have the third largest payroll in baseball. Only the two New York teams spent more money on their players. And yet the Padres barely are above 500. They're eliminated from the playoffs. And I got to say, folks, if you're a sports fan, it's maybe the most disappointing season
I've ever experienced. Well, I don't know if you've ever thought of this, Jim, but even a team that does well, that goes to the Super Bowl or goes to the World Series, the amount of money we're paying people to what? Play a game in front of us so that we can be entertained watching someone else play a game. If somebody were visiting from the planet Vulcan, they'd find that most illogical.
Well, and I did talk to that gentleman you're referring to, and he does. But here's the deal, though, Bob. I've been through that argument, and this is the truth. I'm the one responsible because I watch the games, which pays for the advertising. I've bought tickets to go to games, and so I'm the guilty party.
Well, yeah, but it's just interesting how much money they make just to play a game in front of us.
Well, there was a guy here that played for the Padres when I was in town and had season tickets. He's one of my heroes. His name was Tony Gwynn. You've probably heard of him. And his final contract, the end of his career, he told his agent, said, look, just give me a raise. I don't need a lot, but just give me a raise and I'll be fine. So Tony signed maybe a five-year deal or whatever. And immediately the players union contacted him and said, what are you doing? You can't. You need more money than that. You have an obligation to the rest of the players. And Tony's
He needs to make more money for the sake of his image.
To hold the standard up. And Tony Gwynn, one of the greatest hitters in the history of baseball, said, bleep you. I have an obligation to my family. My kids like the schools. My wife likes it here. And by the way, I'm getting paid millions of dollars to play a game. He got it.
Do you notice how Christian of a show we are when you hear Jim say bleep,
bleep.
You on the air?
Because
the bleep says everything.
That reminds me of Bobby Bonilla. Do you know about him?
Yeah,
every single year for the New York Mets till 2035 on July 1st, he gets paid $1,193,248.20 on that particular day.
Now, where do they come up with the 20 cents? They he calls his lawyers because he didn't get his 20 cents one year?
Specifically, he signed a contract and he didn't want to get paid that year. So instead, they are doing deferment payments. So every year they split it up.
Insane, isn't it?
It staggers the imagination where the 20 cents figure would come from. He's getting millions of dollars, but they got to add in a 20 cents.
Well, he might go broke without it. But so that's on that. And then one more sports note, and Brandon might have a thought on this, but what dystopian parallel universe am I in when the Los Angeles Chargers play the Las Vegas Raiders? You know what? I'm sorry. Because I had season tickets to that franchise.
Our pastor makes jokes about the Raiders every Sunday. One time he said he was going to reveal who the Antichrist was, and he had a big picture of a Raider with his helmet.
Well, a lot of people used to think that Al Davis was. I even had Raider fans that hated him. But anyway, and your Los Angeles Chargers defeated the Las Vegas Raiders today. Good for them. I'm not a fan. When the Chargers moved to LA, I took all of my Charger gear, which was more than anybody.
Oh, there's a lot of people in San Diego they've never forgiven the Chargers.
Oh, no, I did not. And I probably had more Chargers gear than anybody in the state of Texas. And I took it all to the Goodwill and said, I'm getting a divorce. So, okay, we got the silliness out of the way, I think. Now, you heard a little blurb in between the shows. Is anybody else tired of this drama created by the drama queens in Washington, D.C.?
About shutting down the government?
Yeah. You know, and it's like... I'll
go on the record. I would be just delighted if they shut down the government. From the less government we have in our lives, the better. I don't stay awake at night worrying that the government's going to shut down.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But it seems like we go through this every year. And it's, come on, you guys. You know, eventually someone's going to give in. And it... That was my heavy sigh. I'm so tired of that stuff. And it's not like they don't spend enough money already. So they averted catastrophe in shutting the government down. Like you say, so what
would be the catastrophe exactly?
Well, there's probably some agencies that we really do need to keep in operation.
Well, they'll always bring up we won't get our Social Security. But the truth is they could keep those things going and shut a lot of the pork down. That's what they need to shut down.
We could do a whole show about Social Security and how it started.
Let's not do it too soon because I'm going on Social Security.
I'm on.
Yeah, and you're on it.
I'm on it. And the best thing about it is
I hated paying that all these years, but I guess now that I'm going to be on it soon, I have a different attitude about it.
Well, the biggest thing for me about it is that my Medicare gets paid for out of Social Security.
I'm happy about that.
Exactly. Anyway, okay, so there's a few current events for you.
If you want to, I can add the fact that Matt Gaetz is causing a lot more drama, too, on top of that, by trying to kick out Kevin McCarthy now out of the House of Representatives, which is well-deserved.
Yeah,
I can't stand Kevin McCarthy as it is.
I have not been a huge Kevin McCarthy fan, but right now I'm not sure that's the hill to die for. I'd rather just see them go on with these indictments and go after
Biden. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Stop getting distracted by trying to get these other
Who was it? Oh, okay. Wasn't it Lincoln that said, united we stand, divided we fall, something like that, someone like that?
That was canned heat, actually, but
oh, really?
They had a song where they said, let's get together.
Well, I want to attribute it to Lincoln.
Well, yeah, you're probably right, but the reality is nothing's going to be done to Sleepy Joe or his son. They're going to slap money. There's not going to be anything take place.
No, some clerk will go to jail. Joe won't. Yeah.
And
are going to get rid of him, though. I don't believe he's going to be the candidate. Now, until recently, I was not saying that because even though he's losing his mind, the people that are pulling his streams, they're just delighted to have this dummy that they can just pull the strings of. But it's getting to the point where even the liberal mainstream media is saying, come on, this guy can't walk three steps. He can't utter three words. So I think they're going to get rid of him. And my fear is that Michelle Obama is going to jump in. I don't have, if Gavin Newsom jumped in, I don't mind that. I think some of these Republican candidates could have Newsom for lunch, even though the women on The View like the way he wears his hair. And that's about the depth of their political aspirations. However, Michelle Obama, you know, if you don't vote for her, you're a misogynist, you're a racist. Of course, they pulled that card with Kamala Harris, and she was the worst VP we've ever had.
Which is also
history.
A consideration. If Biden is out before his term is over, then you get Harris.
Although they're trying to figure out, they want to get rid of her, too. They're trying to do an end run.
Well, she's not senile. She's just stupid. Oh, yeah. Am I getting in trouble for saying that?
Well, from somebody. Not from me so much, but from somebody.
Oh, my gosh. You know, they've created a whole phrase for her.
Well, we don't have to call her stupid. Let's just, she's not exactly the sharpest tool in the shed.
Well, when we had to come up with the term word salad, because she just throws,
it's incredible.
So we aren't even on point tonight, which is fine.
The two of them are Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Oh, man. And I have to remind you, because you know the thing about it, those who forget history are doing repeat it. Yeah. 4 years ago, when we're going through all this, it looked very much like anybody would have chewed up Joe Biden and spit him out. He wouldn't stand a chance against anybody. Somehow he won the primary, and Austin, which is about an hour away from me, a very liberal city in Texas. It's the blue dot in the red state. And I've got a friend up there who is conservative, and he talks to his friends, and Biden stole the election. They go, you don't believe that? That's crazy talk. And he says, well, he stole the primaries, didn't he? And they go, oh, yeah. He stole the primaries, but not.
Yeah, you just can't say that he did it to Trump. That's
so, so there's no guarantees here that anything good will happen in 2020.
I am concerned that they'll bring in someone like Michelle Obama because she just has this likability. She doesn't know jack about anything as far as running the country.
Doesn't matter.
That's not going to make any difference
whatsoever. Would be the same wizard behind the curtain pulling the strings that is now, and that's her husband. Right. Yeah. So that's my opinion, folks.
Well, he's one of them.
Not necessarily
Him
the opinions
and
George
of Bob Soros and Bernie Sanders.
All
and
of them.
There's a bunch of them, yeah.
So here we're almost through
Pay
the first
no
segment.
Pay no attention to those men behind the curtain.
Oh, my. The views expressed tonight are not necessarily those of Bob Siegel, KCBQ, or the Salem Broadcasting
Network.
Well,
and speaking of the man with that behind the curtain, we've got to remember the most classic line from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah?
How can you talk if you don't have a brain? I don't know, but some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, yeah, and that sums up Washington, D.C. right there.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can launch into this thing. We got three more segments that'll be coming up. This is a part two. A few weeks ago, I was on the show, and we talked about some of the things that took place in the 60s, then specifically
that
philosophical.
Then that turned our country into what it is today.
What it is today. And we talked about philosophical, spiritual, and moral issues that show. Tonight, I want to talk about political, economical, and technological things that took place in the 60s, and now we're reaping the crop, the harvest. So we will get into those things, I think, after the station break.
And we will be right back with Jim Barrier. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
To 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined with Jim Barrier.
Well, it's so good to be here and physically be here. I love it when I can come in the studio with you.
Lately you've been here a little more often in person.
Maybe
you're saying that now it's not going to be another year
sometime in 2024, I'll be back.
And no man knows the day or the hour.
Well,
not
this
even
is
the
true.
Sun.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That's right. Oh, boy. You're going to confuse people, Bob.
Watch and be vigilant. sent for your friend Jim Barrier will return at an hour you do not expect.
There have been sightings. I'm right up there with Loch Ness and Bigfoot and UFOs, which we'll talk about. Now, I have mentioned before, it's my opinion that one of the greatest events, or at least world-changing events, was the Industrial Revolution on a humanistic level. Certainly, the appearance of Jesus Christ on the earth and the spiritual things have all been dramatic in the history of our world. But the Industrial Revolution changed things so much so that if you go from the time of Abraham to the time of Benjamin Franklin, basically, transportation was animal-driven vehicles. People cooked over fire and they grew their own harvest and livestock. And that was pretty much the same for thousands of years. The Industrial Revolution changed everything. It changed the education system. They started building the little buildings with the desks in a row, and they separated people by age. I am a bit of a conspiracy theorist, and so the kids were trained to respond to the bell, get up, sit down, so that they could go work in the factories. Fathers started going and working instead of on their home or their farm. They started working in the factories, and now the mom was left to raise the kids. Everything really changed with the Industrial Revolution, and it really started to affect the family.
But, of course, this was way pre-60s, the Industrial Revolution.
Way pre-60s. Yeah. So, but the segue is this. The 60s, things started to change. Now, it really, the precursor was, in 1947, the transistor was developed. Okay? Now, I have friends, I am not this far gone, but I have friends that deeply believe that it coincided with the event in Roswell, New Mexico, and that we took technology from the aliens that crashed.
Oh, my gosh.
I know people that believe that.
Well, you know, there are more and more people talking about it. They're talking about it more on the news. Yeah, yeah. It's being talked about more in the government. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying I buy into it.
That's a diversion.
It's being talked. Yeah, it probably is. They don't want us to think about slow Joe.
They don't
want to
know about what's going on.
Forget Joe. It's the aliens.
Yeah. So anyway, the transistor was developed, but things really started to escalate. Now, in 1965, or finally in the 60s, a fellow named Gordon Moore estimated that the number of components per integrated circuit would double every year. And he projected this for the next 10 years. And then in 1975, he revised it to doubling every 2 years. And it became so true, it proved out that they now call that Moore's Law. And the point of that is that technology just kept advancing so rapidly and things got smaller and smaller. And your cell phone has more brains than the computers in those days.
Well, think about how many different devices we once had that are now all in a cell phone.
All in my phone.
Movie cameras, movie projectors, television sets, radios,
GPS,
record players,
everything.
Typewriters, yeah. Clocks. I mean,
everything.
And I'm not even thinking of 3/4 of them right now.
Yeah, and so it really has proven true. So technology just went crazy. Now, another thing started to happen in the 60s, and this was message sharing between systems. These were the seeds, the groundwork for email. And when computer-to-computer networking really began in 1969, it launched us into the internet age. And
it's just that most average people were not on the internet yet, but technology was there.
But because of that, companies started racing to develop PCs. Now, do you remember your first computer, your first personal computer?
Yeah, my first computer was an old black and white Mac, secondhand that somebody taught me how to use.
Oh, my.
I've gone back and forth between Macs and PCs. I've had much better experience with Macs, but I know those are fighting words. Everybody goes to their corner on Mac versus PC.
Well, if they don't agree with you, they're wrong, first of all. But
of course, because they disagree with
us. I became a Mac convert, and I'm an Apple biter, so I have an iPhone, I have Mac stuff, I have everything Mac. But my first computer was a K-Pro.
I never even heard of that
one. It was a kind of a Radio Shack.
Oh, the Radio Shack that's since gone out of business.
I remember when a friend of mine came over and put in an 8088 chip.
Woohoo!
And it made it faster and smarter. It was crazy. Even when you went on the internet, you had a little cassette tape and it made that horrible noise, you know. And so that started escalating. And along with that, we had the space race, which gave us Tang and Velcro and some other really cool stuff. You remember
space sticks? Those little chocolate candy bars?
Oh, yeah.
That's just what the astronauts eat.
Yeah, and it was terrible, but you wanted to eat it because you wanted to be an astronaut.
That's right. You told yourself it tasted good because you felt like an astronaut.
In 1962, JFK said, "We choose to go to the moon before 1970. And in July of 1969, Neil Armstrong took that one small step onto the lunar surface. And by the way, I think that happened. All the people say, oh, it was staged, it was fake.
No, it happened. It's just that Joe Biden was on the rocket ship, too, and he landed on the moon next to Neil Armstrong. You got to get that part.
So you're saying that that image we always saw was not Jackie Gleason. It was actually... Now, only a few people are going to get that reference. Now, moving forward... A fellow named Manuel Castells wrote a book called The Information Age / Economy, Society, and Culture. And he writes about a new society that is in the making. And he said, the information age is not the end of history. Quite the contrary. History is just beginning. Now, I don't think he meant to be so prophetic, but the truth is they're rewriting history.
Yeah, so in that sense, yeah. They're rewriting a history that could be coming true.
But because of all of this, the information age, you know, people can go on the internet.
Well, computers make it so easy to wipe out history because you don't have to go burn down a library now or burn books at all. You can just wipe it off a hard drive.
Yeah, and you remember, there's a quote, Mark Twain, if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read it, you're misinformed. Well, that's...
I loved Mark Twain.
That's the information age. I don't trust Wikipedia implicitly. I certainly don't trust Google or most of the things. You know, if you get all your information off of social media...
You have to get your information from more than one source.
Yeah, and certainly
anybody
not,
can put something on Wikipedia, so...
Yeah, because I had someone that I love said something to me one time. Well, what she said was, well, you know, Trump's a puppet. I said, really?
And the guy we have in the White House now isn't?
Well, and I said, you know, he's a billionaire. He gave that up to be the president. Who's pulling his strings? There's nobody in his pockets. He says, well, that's what they say on Facebook. Yeah. So there you go.
It was because he was not a puppet that they had to get rid of
him. I know, but
exactly.
But my point is that people read this nonsense from their friends on Facebook who are so educated. Now, in this information age, it's kind of scary. Your credit, your bank accounts, your social media posts, phone calls, texts, and location are all accessible and vulnerable to scrutiny from Big Brother.
Or just some black market hacker, too.
We had that happen with one of our relatives.
There's identity theft.
Yeah. We've just walked through one of those, and it's a scary thing out there. And if the powers that be want to, they can take that information. They know what's going on. And I don't care if you shut your phone off. It's got a SIM card in there. You could be tracked. So technology can be a very scary thing. I have said now for years, I love technology until I hate it. And then there's a point where I turn the corner and go, I hate technology.
Well, there's a great convenience to technology, but it can be a double-edged sword.
Right. Now, bring this into AI. That's the big thing, AI.
Yeah, these programs now that are writing poems and creating music.
Scary stuff. Google, YouTube, Amazon, Netflix, Siri, Alexa recognize human speech. They now have programs they can learn and read your emotions. Just a scary stuff.
Now that one I had not heard. I have had situations where Dana and I are talking and her Siri will suddenly jump in and try to add to our conversations. Let me look that up for you. We're like, we're not talking to you, Siri. Quit butting in.
They now have technology and they can put this in your big LED or OLED.
How exactly are they reading our emotions? By the pulse rate? Or they're checking our pulse or something?
They read facial expressions.
Oh, okay.
Body
language.
And voice inflection. Okay. All of those kind of things.
I can see that.
And Spotify just got a patent for technology that reads emotions based on speech recognition, background sounds, all this kind of stuff, so that they can tell how you respond to a commercial, if you like the product or not. They know what kind of music you like.
I like, because there's certain movies that I'll turn off if they have certain scenes I don't want to see. And if they are now reading that I'm doing that, that part of it's good.
Well, except that you, my friend, have always been a slim minority. Now, here's some other scary stuff. I won't use it. I don't use Siri. I don't use Alexa. I saw 2001 and The Matrix.
You realize your podcast is on some of those channels, Jim.
Oh, I know.
Because we're on a podcasting network and they're on all the channels.
Oh, I know that, but that's okay.
It's different.
But I've seen all of the movies. I know how this turns out if we trust artificial intelligence.
Yeah, we know how it turns out. We know that they talk like Arnold Schwarzenegger when they take over.
I will never own a self-driving car. Not going to do it. The fact is, I won't even have an EV. I won't have an electric vehicle until it's as safe for the environment and as affordable as my internal combustion, fossil fuel-driven SUV. And until then, you're going to have to pull my cold, dead carbon footprint off the accelerator.
There is nothing to worry about with all of this technology. All right, we'll be right back.
is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes, what's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show and the show within a show. Yes, it's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
All right, Jim. Well, I did warn you off the air that Bob told me to challenge you a bit. So I'm going with a song that is from the year 1969. And it's a one-hit wonder band, and they only reached number 37 here in the charts.
Otherwise, and I should say, when we say challenge Jim, make it obscure, Jim revels in obscure. And
I hear it.
So just because we tried to make it hard doesn't mean we're assuming you won't get it. I'm guessing you probably will get
we'll
it.
We'll find out. That's we'll find out.
But it was a huge hit in the UK because the band is from the UK.
And so I don't know what it was. So if Jim doesn't get it, I'll take a crack at it.
We'll find out.
All right. So here we go.
Oh yeah, got it.
Whoa,
got it already. You want me to say it?
Go ahead and say it, and
then we'll play a little bit of it.
Okay, and this is Thunderclap Newman, Something in the Air, which was covered by Tom Petty. I bet you knew that.
Yes, I did.
And this was a Pete Townsend project. This is one of his little pet projects. So
this is before he got involved with the Who?
Did I get it right?
That is correct. You got 100% right.
Let's listen to a little of it. Well, I would have never got this in a million years, Jim, so good job and kudos. So this was written by Pete Townsend, you said, or he was involved in the project?
He was just involved in the project, yeah.
And was this before The Who or after The Who?
After.
Okay. I think The Who was one of the most brilliant musicals
best
ever.
Concert.
I agree.
I've seen the Broadway version of it, too, which is fantastic if you ever get a chance to see it.
And if you're wondering, obviously that was a protest song against the Vietnam War.
Oh, everything in the 60s.
The 60s, late 60s.
I thought it was kind of interesting. It's a UK band that was doing the protest.
Well, the British invasion was a huge part of the 60s.
Oh, I know that, but the Vietnam War was focused on America versus...
Oh, they all had something to say. And You know, I loved all that music, but it used to tick me off that some of those artists would come over and complain about our country. And I'd say, look, you're making millions. In fact, most of them bought a home over here so they didn't have to pay taxes in England. But great song. Enjoyed that. And let's stay with obscure. Keep doing obscure. I like that.
I remember the program All in the Family where they're talking about, well, Mike's arguing about laws that they have in England. And Archie goes, listen, buddy, this ain't England. We threw England out of here a long time ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was good. Good challenge. And I do like that song, so bring me more obscurity in the future. All right, we're going to get back on point here?
Back on track now.
Okay. Now, let's shift gears here from technology. Let's talk about political and economical things that happened in the 60s that we're now paying for, literally. We'll start with, LBJ.
Oh, you're talking about the Great Society?
Yeah, you know, I used to think he was the worst president in history. And then the peanut farmer came along.
Oh, they all keep topping themselves.
And they keep lowering the standard. Yeah, and now it's like, it's unimaginable.
You think it can't possibly get worse, and then it does get worse.
But LBJ, he just did so many things wrong. Well, so many things that I think damaged our country. So in 1965, he introduced the Great Society, which was also a name the Jefferson Airplane had before they became the Jefferson Airplane. But it, really what this was, it was trillions of dollars in federal spending through public assistance programs that basically gave us a welfare society.
And yeah, well, that and Social Security previous to that, those are just ways of slowly turning us into a socialist government.
So some of the side effects, some of the unintended consequences was the escalation of what I call the war on families. Single mothers could lose their benefits if they got married. So they just keep having babies because they could get more money from their check.
Or you go on unemployment, but then if you get a job, then you immediately you're off unemployment, so you're motivated to stay on unemployment.
I have talked to so many people who said, why should I get a job? I'm getting more money from the government.
And Biden's doing that on steroids these days.
But LBJ's the guy. Now, I know that FDR put a lot of stuff into motion, but LBJ escalated it just like he did the war in Vietnam and everything else. So it really started to take a toll on the families because fathers were abandoning their families, and the current welfare state supports millions of single mothers, and they're not motivated to change their status because they'll lose so much money. And I've known situations, we've seen, I know a family in my hometown, well, my current place of residence, and she just kept having babies because she got more and more money. She didn't want to get married, and she didn't care to have another baby, get a bigger check. And that's reality. Maybe they all don't do that, but that was all a result of this stuff that, that LBJ was doing.
And it always sounds so compassionate, but thing is, carried to its extreme, a country can't survive on that.
Yeah, and human nature is, people are going to take the path of least resistance, you know.
Who's going to refuse something for free?
I get Social Security. I'm not refusing, but...
Well, but you and I, against our will, we're paying into Social Security.
Yeah, I had to pay into it.
So if we had to pay into it, we're going to take out of it. But I don't think anybody should have had to pay into it.
Okay. Now, the government says, which right away, there's the flags go up, but the government statistics say that less than 50% of families in America right now are made up of two parents in their first marriage raising their own biological children. That's the government statistics. Some studies and things say it's less than 10%. So the family unit that we knew, Ozzie and Harriet and Donna Reed and all those, that does not exist. Does not exist. It's not dad goes to work, mom stays home and bakes cookies, and everybody's happy. Now, our family structure is really a mess.
Well, it may still exist in Texas, right? It's just not here in California.
Well, I don't have time to talk about what we've done in Texas, but we're pretty much keeping up with the rest of the country, I'll put it that way. Now, you combine this with the divorce rate, same-sex marriage, abortion, and pretty much the nuclear family is an endangered species.
Well, and there's an all-out assault on the nuclear family right now that's very deliberate and very calculated.
Yeah, and to bring it back, because, you know, I'm a pastor and I try to keep a spiritual view of things, before Moses was born, Pharaoh killed all the male babies. Before Jesus was born, Herod did the same thing. And a lot of people don't know this, that before Abraham was born, there was a prophecy in the culture that there would be a great king arise, and Nimrod slew tens of thousands of children because he feared whoever this would be. And I believe it was Abraham. And so it was the same pattern. Now, here's my point. The enemy of your soul, I believe there's a real devil, and I believe he has a hierarchy, legions that are in rebellion to God's authority, and I think they attack the family. Every time something big's going to happen, he pulls out the big guns. And those three historical incidents are reality. I think right now the attack on the family and on children is a spiritual thing in nature. Certainly there are political people that are puppets to the principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places, but that's what's behind it. There's a parallel world going on that drives the things that you and I see in the material. That's my opinion. So it is. The family is under attack. That's why I thank God for the Justice Foundation and the work they're doing, and people that are not only trying to preserve marriages, but they're fighting for pro-life so that we don't kill children. Because you know what? An unborn human being is a human being. So there are people that are fighting real hard to resist this, but you can see the pattern. Just
well, society that can't take care of its weakest member is an evil society.
Yeah, or an animalistic society. So, yeah, yeah. So that stuff's going on. Now, here's another thing. We're going to change gears a little bit here. The Trade Expansion Act of 1962 enabled the President of the United States to reduce tariffs up to 80% on goods imported into the United States. And this was used in negotiations for the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, which paved the way for the export of jobs from the United States to low-wage countries. So you go down and you get a guy that they can make 50 cents a day instead of the union wage here. That started in the 60s with Johnson again, LBJ, boy. So,
and of course, China is one of the places where a lot of those jobs
everywhere,
have gone to.
Everywhere.
And all right, hold all right, that we'll thought, Jim. We will be right back for one more segment.
I'm Dana Wright, here to talk about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... The title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Jim, the time always goes by so fast.
I know.
But we have one last segment.
Well, let's make the most of it. So, mentioned the Trade Expansion Act, and what this did, it allowed corporations to sidestep union wages, and they could import goods from countries where low-wage workers could do the manufacturing work.
Which means that the more power we're giving to the unions is not really helping the workers because the companies just find ways around it.
Yeah, but what the result of this is, we call it outsourcing. That's a term that started coming up a while back. And the corporations kept making money. In fact, they made more money because they didn't have to pay as much for labor. And the American workers made less money because they're trying to compete.
And it messes with the customers. How many times do you need tech support and you've got somebody from some country across the world that can barely speak English trying to read off a script?
Drives me crazy.
Hello, Mr. Siegel. How are you today? Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh.
My name is
Larry.
And you have to listen to that elevator music for 30 minutes first, and they keep interrupting, telling you how important your call is to them.
You know, you're going to get letters about racism now because of that. But that's what started happening. Outsourcing became the way to do it, and American workers can't compete with that. Now, we had a president that came in and said, we're going to...
He brought back a lot of jobs.
Yeah, we're going to put America first. We're going to put American workers first. And he brought jobs back.
And I'm convinced that's why China released the COVID virus.
It could
be. Because Trump was the first president that stood up to them on trade and things like that.
That was the only time that I can remember, but I think it's documented, for the first time, we exported more oil than we imported.
Yeah, now, we suddenly didn't need Saudi Arabia in the oil.
Yeah, and Biden shut that down real quick. And
then
we're
went
back to
and
where
kissed
we were.
Their feet to get more oil from them after that.
By the way, when I left San Antonio a couple of weeks ago, I topped off at $3.29 a gallon. And by the time I get out here to the state of California, most places are double that. I try to find a place that's under $6 a gallon.
Well, they want to put gas cars out of business here. That's what they're trying to do.
You know, but so all of that, thank you, President, for making my life harder by the day. All right, one more thing here now. We had the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, which expanded immigration and allowed immigrants from all over the world, including Asia, Africa, the Middle East, South America, at a level we'd never seen. And now it's out of control. There is no border security. This person, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that you're familiar with, I saw her on TV a few days ago, and she's blaming Trump for the lack of border security.
She's a blithering idiot. She does not activate her brain before she activates her mouth.
Yeah, and she was blaming Trump for the potential government shutdown. Now, what's wrong with these people?
She doesn't have to back it up. She knows she can say that and get away with it.
But
so
the problem is people see that and they go, oh, yeah, see, it's Trump's fault.
Yeah,
so anyway, so we have this thing happening now. What this does is you have drugs, human trafficking, terrorist threats. In fact, terrorist people come into this country unchecked.
Just right across the border. Just walk in.
Yeah. And once in a while, they'll catch somebody and say, hey, we caught these guys and they were potential terrorists. But what about all the ones that slipped through that nobody caught?
And what about all the ones we caught after 9/11 that we went and gave back and did trades?
You know, I am mourning over these things. And, we make light of things, but I'm trying as much as I can to find hope, Bob, that things will turn, that we could maybe have a fair election and get somebody in the White House who cares about this country.
The Muslim countries and the communist countries, they look at the Democrats running our country right now and they call them useful idiots.
Yeah.
And the Russians, too.
We're really, again, a laughingstock, and that changed under Trump's administration. Suddenly our enemies respected and feared.
Yeah, people didn't like Trump, but they respected Trump.
Yeah, so, and this is not the Donald Trump show, but the truth is, he doesn't even have to go to those debates because he's leading all the rest of the Republicans.
Yeah, of course, they all swoop in like vultures and take shots at him anyway.
Fine, that's fine. We'll see what happens. After the last election night, I don't have any hope that whoever wins the election will actually win the election, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
So, those are some things that we've covered here that happened in the 60s. The seeds were sown, and now we're reaping a harvest. Technology's out of control. Drug abuse is out of control. Man, the influx of drugs into this country, the overdoses that happen, all of that is because of this lack of security. And a lot of it I blame on the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, making it easier for people to come in and then easier for them to bring their poison into this country. You know, the film that Jim Caviezel just did about human trafficking and stuff.
Which was an excellent film. But excellent.
But mainstream media and the left
do not want to
deny it. They say, that's all bulk.
Yeah, sure it is.
It's been real for a long time. It took them 5 years to get that film released.
Yeah, because they got so much resistance.
Yeah. And by the way, one of the reasons it took 5 years is because Disney owned the rights and wouldn't release it home. Okay.
It's just not the same Disney anymore.
Oh, this is not your father's Mickey Mouse.
No, in fact, there's a book that came out a few years ago called The Trojan Mouse.
They're
using the innocence of this mouse cartoon character indoctrinate people.
Yeah. So with all of the great innovations and all of the things, good things that took place in the 60s. We needed to move forward on civil rights, and all of these things were good things, but what's happened is it's kind of gone astray. And so now the road to utopia is now the road to dystopia. And look at all the movies. How many movies have you seen where they paint a rosy picture of the future? No, it's all dark and dismal.
It's always apocalyptic, yeah.
Yeah, and the apocalypse is knocking on the door, but I will hold on. There is hope. And I think awakening is knocking on the door. We've done a few shows about revival and things. I think if people will pray enough, and this is a hobby horse I've ridden on the show, if Christians will pray, what does it say? I'm going to read this. You know this one. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's my hope.
Chronicles.
Yeah.
I recite that every morning as part of my prayers.
Yeah. And I would encourage listeners to do the same and do it honestly, with sincerity, and there is hope if we will do those things.
Well, Jim, thank you for bringing it back to the hope, because that is so important. We don't want to leave people on the brink of despair, but these are very troubling times, and we need to be paying attention to what's happening. And with that, it's always good to be with you. We will see you next time.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.